Well, please have your Bibles open at John chapter 1. Now, I'm sure that we are all familiar with a courtroom scene. Maybe some of us have actually been there in a courtroom. Some of us have been on jury. Maybe some of us have been in the dock. I don't know. But I'm sure that all of us have seen a courtroom scene on TV, haven't you, at some point? So we're all familiar with it. And there's a real desire in a court to get to the heart of the matter, to find out what the truth really is. And a charge is given to those people who are testifying, who are witnesses for whatever's being looked into, that they just tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Now, we all understand the importance of truth, of getting to the heart of the matter, because we need to understand the truth of something in order to see how it works, to get the right end of the stick. And this occurs in all areas of life. In your job, whatever your job has been, or if you're retired, what your job was, you need to understand the truth, the heart of the matter, so you can do your job properly. In education, you need to understand the truth of what's being taught to you, or you need to at least understand the subject well enough to share what people expect of you. Truth is important in every area of life. But there's an area of life where it is absolutely essential, and that's understanding how this world works. There is a right way of understanding how this world works, and then everything else may be close, but it's not right. Because the truth is what's real, what's accurate. And everything else, no matter if it's just a little bit out or a long way out, it's not the truth. And when we're thinking about how this world works, we're talking about what's known as a worldview. That's a very popular term nowadays, a worldview. And our worldview is how we understand that the world works. And our worldview is dependent upon all sorts of factors. It depends upon the family that you're born into. It depends upon the way that you've been raised. It depends upon what is considered normal behavior amongst the people that you surround yourselves with. It also depends upon your culture. It can depend upon your education and things like that. All these different things come together so that we develop what's known as a worldview. And through our worldview, we understand how the world works. But the thing is, there is one way that the world works, and that's the truth. And then everything else, no matter how close it is slightly out. So, how do we get to the point where we really understand the truth about this world? How do we get to that point? Well, let's think about it this way. If you want to find out how your new DVD player works, and you haven't got a five-year-old to ask nearby, what do? You read the maker's instructions, don't you? Because the people who have made something, they're the ones who understand how it really works. So if we want to have the right worldview about this world, if we want to understand the truth about this world, what we've got to do is we've got to go to the person who has made it all. And this is what John's doing here in his gospel. John's gospel is a wonderful, wonderful message. A gospel just means good news. It's a message of good news. It's the fourth gospel, and it's a gospel that's written for absolutely everyone. Matthew's gospel was written probably mostly for people of Jewish background. So in Matthew's gospel at the very beginning, he takes it back to Abraham and the start of the Jewish nation. While Luke's gospel was aimed particularly at the Gentiles, and early on in the chapters there, we've got a genealogy that takes it back to Adam. And Adam is, of course, the one that every single human being is descended from. But John's gospel is for everyone. And he takes it back, the very beginning, to before the creation of this world. And he's highlighting that Jesus Christ is the one through whom this world is created. This is what we learn in that first verse there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John starts his gospel by talking about the beginning, the origin, the start of all things. That's what the word in the Greek means. It's the absolute beginning. And before that beginning, the Word was with God. There were two of them there. There was God and there was the Word. Now, we started to get some hints about this in the Old Testament. And we often come across the word of the Lord. So in Psalm 33 verse 6, which we open this service with, we see that the word of the Lord made the heavens. Now in the past, before this time, people thought that God and his word were the same. There was just a different way of speaking about God. But now we have a mystery being revealed to us, because it's clear that the Word and God are both different and the same. The Word was with God and the Word was God. This is a part of that very complicated doctrine called the Trinity. Now, if you think you understand the Trinity, you certainly don't, because the more you look into it, the more complicated the doctrine of the Trinity gets. But we can still believe it, because in God's word, there are mysteries. And there are things that are clear, there are things that we have to put our thinking caps on, and there's some things which we cannot fully comprehend. And the doctrine of the Trinity is one of those things that we cannot fully comprehend. The more you think about it, the more complicated it gets. But this is one of the key sections which reveals the doctrine of the Trinity to us. And it's so difficult that some people, they just can't handle the truth. Down through the years, there's always been people who have doubted what these verses say. There are people who believe that there is one God, but they think that he is God all alone, and they think that maybe the word is a created being, or the word is something else. So in our society today, we have the Muslims, and they say that God has no son. They believe that Jesus was a prophet. He was a person. The Jehovah's Witnesses are the latest in a long line of heresies which say that we mistranslate this verse, and it talks about the word being a created being. But that's not what the Bible says. The Greek of this passage could not be any clearer. It's teaching quite clearly that there is God and there are the Word. They are both, at the same time, distinct and equal. And in other parts of Scripture, we see that the Spirit is also there as well. So our God, there is one God, but there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these verses clearly teach that there is God, and there is the Word. And in verse 11 of our passage, we see that the Word came to this world, which means the Word is clearly Jesus Christ. And as we look at what the Word is doing here at the beginning of these chapters, we can understand why the Lord Jesus is considered the ruler of creation. Because it talks about how the world was made by God, but through the Word. And we all know, don't we, that when you make something, it belongs to you. And this is doubly true of the Creator God. When he makes something, it really does belong to him. Jesus Christ is the one through whom this world was made, and we learn that he is also the source of life. Which means that if you are alive today, then you have received a blessing from God. Your life is a blessing from God. Lots of people say, oh, God's never done anything for me. The fact that they are living and breathing is a blessing from God. Because as we look around us, we can see the things that God has made. There's the chairs, there's the carpet, there's the walls, there's the ceiling, there's the lights, and they've got electricity flowing through them, which is a real blessing after it all tripped out this morning. But these things, they're not alive. God has made everything, but some parts of his creation he has given life to. So he has animated some things, and it's a special gift from God, which we should all be grateful for. So if you're out on the outreach table or talking to one of your relatives or a friend or something like that, and they say, God's never done anything for me, would you say you're alive? You're thinking. And then you can start thinking about the fact that we live in one of the safest nations that this world has ever known, at a time of peace. And while there may be people struggling to make ends meet, it's nothing like it has been in the past. Now, we are blessed abundantly in so many different ways. There are so many blessings which are poured out upon us, which all come from God. They are all God's gift to us. So Jesus is the one who gives life, and we see in this passage that he is also the light. He is the light of men. And even though all people can benefit from this light, at the same time, the majority of people want to reject it, and they want to live in darkness. And throughout John's Gospel, there's a contrast between light and darkness, between what is true and what is false. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not. In fact, it cannot overcome it. Because darkness is simply the absence of light. It's not an opposite and equal force. It's just a place where the light isn't. A lot of people in this world, they think that there's a conflict going on between good and evil, and they always seem to think that evil is more powerful than good. But that's not the case at all. There is nothing in this creation which God has not made, and there's nothing in this creation which is outside of his control. The darkness that we see is there because people are choosing and quite happy to live without God and live without the light. A week or so ago, I went to the Franklin Graham's minister's reception. And one of the things that he said was that the people of this world hate Jesus. They hate Christ. And they are trying to create a society where the light is obliterated. And that is the worldview of the people who are controlling the media. The people who are controlling our education system. The people who are controlling what goes on the TV. And there's all sorts of people who have swallowed this hook, line and sinker. Psychologists, scientists, teachers, all sorts of people have swallowed a worldview which wants to wallow in the darkness. And it's because they hate Jesus Christ. And that is the world that we are living in today as Christians. People are happy to sit in the dark and create their own worldview which seeks to get rid of everything that is good and pure and precious. But it's not going to last, because one day God is going to turn on the lights. And when God decides to turn on the light, it's just like turning on the light in any other room. When you turn the lights on, do you see a sort of a battle around the edges between the dark and the light as the dark tries to fight back? Of course you don't. The light just fills the room. The darkness is gone, like that. Darkness is instantly vanquished once the lights are switched on. This is the world that we live in. This is a world where there are two categories. There is light and there is darkness. And the Christian is a person who has been called into the light. And through Jesus, we are able to get the Maker's instructions. We are able to talk to him and understand why the world is the way that it is. And we're able to understand where the darkness comes from. Because whatever people living in the darkness think, whatever their worldview is, no matter what qualifications they have supporting it and backing it up, and no matter how much the people of the world get behind them and acclaim them, it makes no difference to the truth. A lie never changes what the truth really is. And when one day Christ is going to come back, and then everyone will see that he is the truth. Nothing but the truth. And they will understand that God has made this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if you like this or if you cannot stand it. It's the truth. And it's a truth that we need to know to understand the world all around us. And what's wonderful is that God doesn't keep this hidden. He doesn't hide it. He doesn't make it so that you've got to go traipsing off to some far off corner of the world and seek for him there. God reveals himself to people. And this is what he's been doing down through the ages. In the Bible, we've got God's revelation to us. He tells people what he is like. He sent a long line of prophets that all pointed to the Messiah. And as it says here, it talks about John the Baptist, the last in that line of prophets here in verse 6. Someone who came as a witness, as a testimony to the light. God is not distant. He reveals himself to us. And in the fullness of time, the Word himself came as the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's ultimate revelation to us of what he is like. And in him, we see a God who wants to save people from the darkness, who wants to rescue the people from themselves. He is a good and loving God who sent his Son to step down into this world and live amongst the darkness to try and reach people. And it's incredible when we think what he did. Now, if we look at verse 6, a true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That's terrible, isn't it? His own did not receive him. It could be a little bit like this. You decide to go away on holiday. You have a really good time. And then you come home and you get up to your doorway and you get your keys out. And you put the key in. It doesn't fit. Oh dear, you think, oh, someone's been fiddling with the locks. I put super glue in it or something like that. So you go around to the back and you get another key out. And you try that key, you put that key into the lock, and that doesn't fit either. And what's happened is your house has been taken over by squatters, and they've changed the locks. So even though you own the house, you can't get in. And you've got a right job to get them out and get yourself back in. And it's a bit like that when Jesus comes to the world. This world was made through him. This world belongs to him. God had been revealing himself to the people down through the ages and had blessed them in so many ways. And when he came, they just weren't interested. They wanted to lock him out. They wanted to shut him out. And it's not just the Jews living 2,000 years ago who made that mistake. And it wasn't all of them. Some of them did believe. John's gospel talks a lot about the world. And when he's talking about the world, he's not talking about planet Earth, but rather he's talking about the world that people create. Our society, our customs, our culture, the world that we make ourselves. And this is the world that rejects God. And when they reject him, they end up living in darkness, and they are trying to change the locks on the true and living God. They're trying to shut Jesus out from this world. But all they're doing is making matters worse. We all know that the world is broken. And there's some pretty serious things wrong with it, isn't there? Just look at the news. That war in Syria is still rumbling on, claiming hundreds of thousands of lives. On Friday, there was an earthquake and a tsunami in Indonesia, which has claimed certainly hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. This world is broken. But it's a truth that people don't want to hear. A lot of people, they just cannot handle the way that the world is today. And they try and bury their heads in the sand. But they don't realize that it's humans that have made it this way. It's our fault. And we see it in God's word. We've got to go all the way back to the beginning. Back there in Genesis 3, we see Adam and Eve, the first humans, rebelling against God. And when they rebelled against God and they disobeyed him and they tried to make themselves little gods themselves so that the whole world circulated around them. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Anyone on social media? It's the same sin. Get the world circulating around you. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, they opened the door to darkness. And because of their actions, the world was changed. God had put them in charge of creation. And that means that when they rebelled against God, creation was corrupted. And that's why we live in a world with earthquakes and cancers and disabilities and wars and all the other horrible things that have happened, because Adam and Eve decided to live in the darkness rather than in the light. And today, people continue to inherit that love of darkness. In John 3, verse 19, we read that people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. People know that they've got something to hide. So they like living in the darkness without God, thinking that they will cover over the things that they have done wrong, simply because there is no light there. That's a bit like a little child thinking, if I close my eyes, you can't see me. So let's just try it. If I close my eyes, you can't see me. Shall we try it? Does it work? Oh, hey, it does work. I've disappeared. That is the delusion that the people living in darkness are following. You can see how childish it is, can't you? It is a delusion. And that's the way that people are living. Well, if our passage ended here with this talk about the world rejecting him, then we would have no hope at all, like the poor person who's diagnosed with untreatable cancer. But it doesn't. Our passage goes on. And our passage gives us reason to hope. Because we see that the light of the world is coming into the world, and we see why he has come. And here we have something wonderful, which is captured perfectly in that most famous verse of the Bible. Because even though the world had tried to lock its creator out and do its own thing, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's what it's talking about here in verses 12 and 13. Those that receive true life are brought in from the darkness and cold, and they become children of God. And the transformation that happens to them, it's not a physical thing, but it's a spiritual adoption. God is the one who works in them so that they become different people, filled with the Holy Spirit, members of God's family, and called to be his servants. When people enter God's family, their life is completely changed. And when people enter God's family, all sorts of things happen to them. And one of them is picked up in Romans 12, verse 2, where we read about the growing, maturing Christian. And the Apostle Paul writes, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." Remember, the world is in darkness and hates Jesus. So we're not to conform to the pattern of this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Remember, God is the one who has got the true view of this world and how it all works. And the closer we get to God, and the more we know about him, the more our minds, our thinkings become in tune with his, and then we can see the truth of this world a lot more clearly. The pattern of the world, the darkness that people live in, they're there with their eyes closed and their fingers in their ears. Like this, they will never know that there is something wrong with the world, but they will never be able to put their finger on the problem area. The Christian is someone who, by the grace of God, has responded to that call to come into the light. They have received membership in God's family, and now they look at the world with their eyes wide open. They are in a position to talk to their Maker and find out what the world is about through him, about how he has made the world, about the problems that the world faces. And ultimately, they know that he is the only one who can sort the problems out. So they listen to him, they follow him, and obey him, and walk in the way of the truth. The Christian worldview is shaped by God's word, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And when we lean on it, we will develop a worldview that is very close to the truth, There's always going to be things that we don't understand. We're not going to get it perfect. But maybe we'll be 98% right, while the person living in darkness is not right at all. So this morning, where do you stand? And where do you want to be? Are you someone who is sitting in darkness? Or are you someone who is in the light? If you're in the darkness, do you realize that you're in darkness? Do you want to know the truth? Are you quite happy to continue rejecting the God who has made you? Living your own way? And do you recognize that so many of your problems are there because humanity has rejected God? Do you recognize this? Do you want to escape from that way of living? Do you want to come into the light and know the truth? Well, if you do, there's good news. Because Jesus said that all who come to him will be accepted. He has come to save people out from the darkness. Next time when he comes again, that'll be when he comes to judge. The first time that he came, he has come to rescue people. And we're still waiting for his return, so the doors are still open. Do you want to come into the light? Well, if you do, you need to turn to him in prayer. You need to reach out. You need to admit that you've been going the wrong way. You need to turn around and leave that old way of living completely behind you. And if you need any help with that, then please come and speak to me a little bit later. Or are you someone who is sitting in the light, who knows Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And as you look at the world around you, you appreciate that there is something wrong. And maybe you feel torn because the darkness of this world is trying to get rid of the light. And we all live in the world. We're exposed to the thinking of the world. You know, we watch TV, we read the papers, we go on the internet, we know people who are not Christians. All of these things, they will be trying to drag us back down into the darkness. We need to remember that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And the more we study his word, the more we allow his word to understand our thinking, and we have got the courage to say that this world is in darkness, that this world is wrong, because it's so easy to go along with the flow. We need to have the courage to stand against that anti-Christian thought which pervades our entire society at the moment. We need to trust in him. And when we trust in him, he will guide us, he will shape us, and he will lead us into the truth. Nothing but the truth. Amen.